We're going to get started because I don't think Mr. Scafidi sometimes has a meeting on Mondays that conflicts with this. So let me just check. I'm going to check one thing. Oops, I'm sorry. Okay.
So while you're checking one thing, I'm going to check one thing.
Great. Welcome to Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and Seton Hall University, Class of 85. My great pleasure to be back with you again today. The purpose of Thank God for Monday is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as to how to utilize the information we provide today, take full accountability for the decisions you make and the resulting outcomes. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. And as such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. His name is Robert Allen. He's the author of this great book, Self-Care. Let's start the conversation. Hello and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Robert.
Greg, how are you? Thank you for having me on.
The honor is all ours. We've got a lot to talk about today and not a whole lot of time. So if it's okay with you, we're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool.
Yes, let's go.
Self-care is a popular buzzword today. But when some people think about it or hear it, it makes them think of bubble baths. But you say it's much more intricate and multifaceted than many people may think. Help us out, Robert. Give us a grounding. What exactly is self-care?
Well, Greg, I redefined self-care in Self-Care, Let's Start the Conversation. Before it was used so generically, you know, people would use it. Oh, well, you know, I'll just take a bubble bath or I just need to get away for a small vacation. Self-care, especially during the COVID-19, the pandemic, it was just this buzzword, even amongst many mental health professionals that I know and work alongside with. And so for me, self-care, as defined in the book, is whatever fills your cup in your most needful space. I'll say that again. So whatever fills your cup in your most needful space.
Oh. That is a simple yet very empowering definition. So thank you for that. Now, in this great book of yours, Self-Care, Let's Start the Conversation, you say that self-care is often misunderstood. What are people doing it wrong? Please, Robert.
Well, one, we have to understand that self-care, again, if you take it from the definition that I use, whatever fills your cup in your most need. That self-care is progressive, which means there's not a one size fit all, or what I used to do in my 20s, I still do in my 30s or 40s or 50s or so on. A lot of times what people, including myself, what I would used to do is say, okay, in my teenage years, this is how I decompressed. And then in my 20s, you know, you get married, you have kids, life, you know, jobs, different jobs, moving to a different state. Life happens. And what we try to do is we try to put self-care in this little jar and say, I'll go back to this. However, you may not be in that space in your life anymore. What you used in your 20s and 30s may not be what fills your cup in your 30s and 40s and so on.
Well, that's really something. Now, do I see correctly on the back cover of this great book of yours that you have a few children?
I do. I have five children, married with five children. And it's interesting because the oldest will be 21 and the youngest will be 3.
Wow. Oh, that is so beautiful. No doubt about that. So I could see why self-care would be important to you and your wife. Certainly no doubt about that. And speaking of the importance of self-care, not only for you and your wife, why is self-care so important to our health in general, Robert?
So I think a lot of people, and again, including me, we minimize the effects of stress. So the first chapter in the book talks about and really discusses the effects of stress. So based off numbers from the CDC, over 110 million deaths occur each year due to stress-related ailments. 110 million deaths a year can be associated with or contributed to stress-related ailments. So that, I mean, if you look at it, heart attacks, stress attacks, strokes, all of these things leads to a good number of these deaths. And for someone like me, I operate absolutely awesomely in chaos. The more chaotic the situation, I think the better I'm at, you know, the better I operate. So for me, I have a high tolerance of stress, which is somewhat good, but is also bad because I don't recognize, or it's hard for me to recognize or realize that my stress levels are off the chart because I'm so used to operating at such a high level.
Well, that's amazing, certainly. And sadly, I can't share with where you're at. I think you're now living in Wisconsin, but here in the concrete jungle of Brooklyn and northern New Jersey, there is just a lot of stress going on, no doubt about it. It becomes harder and harder to really manage our lives and manage self-care. But you say in this great book of yours that there are tremendous benefits, physical, emotional, mental health benefits to self-care. Talk with us, please, about these benefits, Robert.
Well, absolutely. So taking from the stress, if you are able to reduce your stress, you know, emotionally, it helps. Physically, you know, we need to exert a certain amount of energy, but we also need to conserve energy. So as we're practicing self-care, you know, it's going to be based upon where we are in our lives. Let's say, for instance, you are an introvert. An introvert may actually need to move out of their comfort zone a little bit and be energized by people or being out more. Subsequently, or conversely, the extrovert who is usually the bubbly person and used to being around so many people may need to withdraw and have more alone time in order to decompress. And so it changes based on where we are. I'll give you an example. I have people, but as I'm growing and as I'm aging, I'm realizing now that alone time means so much more to me than it did even 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Wow.
I get, as much as I love people and as much as they energize in my family, I grew up with a lot of cousins, so I was used to being around a lot of people all the time to the point where I didn't know how to be by myself. I equated that in order for me to have fun, I had to be surrounded by a lot of people. And now as I'm learning, as I'm growing, as I'm maturing, I'm valuing the time that I have for myself and actually began to carve time for myself. So once we do these things, it really helps us in every facet of our lives.
This is really something because you having a wife and five children, is it difficult for you to find time to contemplate or meditate or take a walk to be by yourself?
Well, no, it did. And I think I speak about it in the book, how our culture, how we was raised in certain things, how it make us feel like we have to do things that we necessarily don't have to do. I remember a couple years ago, my wife and I said, because we were living in Las Vegas at the time, we said that we didn't want the kids to be in their rooms during the summer. It's so hot in Vegas, you can't do a lot outside. So we came up with this plan that we were going to take them to the like the multi-generational center. It's the recreation center. And we said, we're going to have them completely involved, and we're going to sign them up for all of these classes. It was a cooking class, an art class, a family workout class. We did all of these things. And we scheduled it for every day of the week. By about the third day, my wife and I, we looked at each other and said, we must be crazy. Because she was coming. I was getting work. We was rushing to get the kids. We were trying to take them to these events, and then we was trying to get home. We ran ourselves rapid. But that's the story we were telling ourselves that we had to do in order to be good parents. When in actuality, if we would have planned maybe two or three things in a week and spent the rest of the time differently. You know, so it's also the story that we tell ourselves and the obligations or over obligations we commit to that interrupts our self-care time.
Yeah. We talked earlier on in the introduction of the show about personal responsibility. And it sounds like, if I perceive from your comment, you want everyone to take personal responsibility for their self-care.
Absolutely. It's only one you. And I say this as I guess it became a catchphrase of mine. Now is the time to invest in you. We have a responsibility to ourselves and even those that we love to care for ourselves. When you get on a plane and the stewardess goes over the emergency plan, the very first thing she tells you to do in case of an emergency, and the cabin loses pressure, there will be an oxygen mask that suspends from your overhead, and ensure that you put your mask on first. The reason why, you have to take care of yourself so you can take care of those effectively. Let's say that. Take care of yourself effectively so that you then are able to take care of those around you.
Makes perfect sense, no doubt about that. Listeners, for anyone who's just tuned in, welcome to Thank God for Monday. We're the weekly talk show about the workplace here on WSOU 89.5 FM locally and streamed around the world at www.wsou.net. I'm Brother Greg from the class of 85. Much, much more important than me, we've got a very, very special guest today. His name is Robert Allen. He's written a great book entitled Self-Care, Let's Start the Conversation. And we're talking all about self-care, what it is, how can we do it right, what are some of the physical, emotional, mental health benefits from self-care, the importance of it. And now I'd like to peel the onion, Robert, if it's okay with you, just a little bit more. Because in this great book yours, you say self-care looks different or can look different for everyone. Is it true? Are there various types of self-care? And if so, what are they, please?
Yes. So you have emotional, you have mental, you have physical, you have spiritual self-care. There's various ways that people can practice self-care, and there's various aspects to it. And so, again, for someone who is around noise and distractions all the time, a quiet space, withdrawing, I'll give you this. I center the book around four pillars, and I call it the four R's. The first R is retreat. The second is reflect. The third, replenish. And then finally, the fourth is restore. And so if you don't mind, I'll just go over those R's.
I think you answered
your question. So in the R, to retreat, that means to get away from, remove yourself from all distractions. One of the ways that we try to practice self-care, and sometimes it doesn't benefit us as well. We want to take everybody with us on our self-care journey, which defies self and care. For instance, a family or a person that says, well, I just need to get away from work, and they take their family on a vacation. Well, that's not really self-care. That's a family vacation. It's a difference. Because on family vacation, if you have kids, you're going to cater to the kids. You're going to cater to your spouse. You still have worries, and you have to make sacrifices on what they want versus what you want or what you may need. And so when we retreat, we remove ourselves from all distractions. Then comes R, reflect. And this is one of the things to one self-care journey. When you are able to get away from distractions and really begin to think, what is working well for me? What's not working so much? What things did I used to do that I really don't need to do anymore? What things do I need to spend energy on? And then what things do I need to conserve energy on? And then the power of no, saying, I don't have to be obligated to these things. Being able to see that I may need help in various aspects. So the reflection part is very crucial to one's self-care journey. And then you have the R, the refreshing. What fills your cup? Who fills your cup? Who drains your energy? Who fills your energy? What things fill your cup and what things deplete you? And then finally, restore. Moving forward in a restorative place after you have truly retreated, reflected, and refreshed yourself, now you can move forward in a new light or in a new journey.
I feel a little more relaxed just listening to you talk about these four R's. I'm happy to say this coming week, from Tuesday through Sunday, I'm going to be heading out on retreat, and I'm going to take this book again with me in this 4-R process and really work on it while I'm away for this 6 days. So as a Franciscan brother, we very much believe retreat is so important. But it's not only for Franciscan brothers of Brooklyn, it's for everyone. That is to say, this 4-R process is very, very important. Now, Robert, this may sound like a silly question. I'm going to ask it anyhow. Does self-care, or can self-care look different for men, women, and even children? Does it matter?
Absolutely it does. For men, when we think about it from the medical aspect, men are less likely to go to the hospital. Men typically will have an inordinate amount of symptoms, and they will do nothing about it. Women tend to be a little bit more verbal on what they need. Sometimes they may not practice self-care as well. What I've known or noticed about women, especially from the mental health field, a lot of times they want to bring in friends with them. So instead of it being the family trip, it ends up being a girl's trip. And the same thing happens. You're sacrificing the things you need for you to cater to the group. And so, and then, you know, with females who are, you know, they get their hair done, their nail done, they'll say, well, this is my self-care. Where that may actually be a portion of self-care, you have to ask yourself, is that what you needed in your most needful space? Give you an example.
Please.
During COVID, which has been unprecedented times, people have had loss of jobs, loss of loved ones. And we see a fear factor associated with this pandemic. You know, if I get sick, will I make it?
Wow.
And so what people need for self-care during a time of a pandemic, during the time of a loss of a loved one, is going to be very different. If you go and get your nails done, that's not going to have a effect on you that you need to fill your cup. And so it's practicing the things that fill your cup. And that's why I said, when we move back to the reflection time, that is the portion of time where you begin to gather what really fills me and what depletes me. And then that's why refreshing is the next step, by saying, oh, I've figured those things out in the reflection part because I've gotten away from everything that distracted me. These are some of the things that fills my cup, and then actually applying them.
Oh, this is so beautiful. Now, it's interesting because of many of our listeners, it's a beautiful Saturday morning here in New Jersey, and many of them are probably having breakfast or staying home right now. Not all of them can go to the south of Jersey for a retreat or things of that nature, but can people at home, our loyal listeners at home right now, are there things they can do to practice self-care?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of what I do in the book is trying to dispel a lot of myths. And sometimes we think self-care is all or nothing. During a pandemic, I'm a mental health professional as well. And I, instead of seeing patients face-to-face, I went to telehealth because that was the only way that we could move. Now, what I end up doing was the 30 minutes that it would take me to go to work, I use that time efficiently for my self-care. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go and jog for about a mile or two and come back, take a shower, have some alone time where it's just me. Because remember, during that time, everyone was in the house because couldn't no one go anywhere. No one can go anywhere.
Right.
So that 30 minute commute that I would normally take ended up being a 20 minute jog and 5 minutes of just clearing my head. And so people can use little pockets of time. I started going to the park a lot more, doing things in nature. Things that I had always wanted to do, but never made time to do.
Well, this is so beautifully Franciscan, the appreciation of Brother Sun and Sister Moon and beautiful flowers. And that's so awesome. So indeed, for those of us who need to be home, there are still ways, absolutely, we can take care of ourselves. Now, of course, Thank God for Monday is a show primarily about the workplace. But Robert, you say self-care is especially important in the workplace. Why is this, please?
So if you have someone, I'll paint a picture for you. Let's say you have a family. And with this family, the mother is, you know, taking care of the kids, getting them off and then going to work. The father's doing the same. After that, they have sports and you're poured in two or three different ways. When you don't have the opportunity to decompress, you wake up, you do it all over again. You go to work, you come home, get the kids where they need to be. If you don't have kids, maybe you're doing other things. A lot of people take work home. And so, yes. Again, the stress buildup and the things that you're not paying attention to in your body. So at work, you can even change what it looks like for you at work. People are now going on walks during their lunch break and taking little breaks more effectively and being, here's a word for you, intentional about having hard stops and say, no, I have 15 minutes. This is what I'm going to do for 15 minutes. Maybe it's being in your office, cutting the lights off, listening to music that soothes you. Maybe it's mindfulness breathing. Maybe it's going for a walk or hitting the stairwell and going up and down the stairs just to get those endorphins going. But these are little small things that people can do at the workplace that helps increase their mood, their motivation, which ultimately ends up increasing customer service.
Yeah, this is so ironic because not once but twice during this wonderful interview, I've heard you use a small word, but one that has big meaning. No. How important is the word N-O?
The power of no. No has power. And so, again, using myself as an example, and I'll say I get it from my mother. My mother, just growing up, we've had cousins live with us. I can't remember there been a time that we didn't have, you know, family living with us outside of my immediate siblings? And so my mother is just the kind of person, she'll give you the shirt off her back. She'll try to bring people in and feed them. That's just who she is. And in part, I got a lot of that. So I do the same. I try to be everything to everybody.
And what
I began to realize is that is no way that I could be me and be refreshed and to be a better version of myself if I'm giving all of me away to everyone else, leaving nothing for me. So a quick example, I was actually with a couple and we were having a conversation and I asked the male, I said, you know, give me your day based off 100%. What gives what percentage? He said, my job gets about 60%. My wife and kids get about 35%. And, 5% is miscellaneous. Then I responded to him. I said, where are you in the equation? What percentage of your energy did you get? And he said, I never really think about me.
Wow. What a revelation. Boy, that's.
And so how many of us, you know, we give energy and care to everybody else. And when you look at what you have left, what is that number that you give for you?
Great question you asked, no doubt about it. Now, one of the things I don't believe I've shared with you, Robert, is that I'm a recovering CPA. Our loyal listeners know this. So the quantitative still sticks with me. So I have to ask this, even though I may not want to. Does employee mental health impact profits, productivity, the bottom line? And if so, how?
Absolutely. So when you think about it, if I have happier staff, they are going to have better customer service to those who we service. Think of the hospital. I have I've been in the hospital industry and education industry, both of those for very long periods of time. So being a teacher, a former teacher, you know, it would be important to me that we have retreats, that we have breakout sessions that's not filled with just more work.
I've saved the most important question for last, Robert. From where can our loyal listener purchase your great book and some other books you've written, as well as find out more about you and best follow you?
Well, absolutely. They can go to www.rwallenbooks.com. There you will find Self-Care, Let's Start the Conversation, the 12-week self-care journal. One of my favorite products that we have is a shirt called, it says, Do Not Disturb Self-Care Mode. And then a button that shows on. And so we have shirts and mugs and different things that people can buy. And they can also follow us on Instagram or Facebook at RW Allen Books.
Terrific. Listeners, please take full advantage of that. Go to the website, the Instagram, the Facebook. And once you've been following Robert and checked out all his great information, please don't forget to follow up with us. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, weekly updates for you. Keep in touch with us. Certainly continue to make suggestions for guests. Give us questions, comments, share with us some of the challenges you might be having in the workplace, as well as some of the good. We love to keep in close contact with you, listeners. So thanks very much for doing that. Robert Allen, author of this great book, Self-Care, Let's Start the Conversation. We can't thank you enough today on Thank God for Monday. You've enlightened us. Much more, you've inspired us. So again, many, many thanks for getting up extra early from Wisconsin today, and continued success and joy with your wonderful 5 children and wife and this fabulous work you're doing in the area of self-care. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Robert Allen does, you'll say, thank God for Monday.